Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There's been a snafu that delayed by about 40 minutes tonight's chat between Elon Musk and former President Trump on X, formerly Twitter, which Musk owns. There was a cyber attack, says Musk.
My apologies for the late start. We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers and saturated all of our data lines.
30 shells or rockets or something were fired from southern Lebanon, where Hezbollah militants operate, into northern Israel, says the Israeli military. They haven't said exactly what was fired. This as the U.S. moves a second aircraft carrier and a submarine with guided attack missiles toward the Mideast. An area greater than the city of Indianapolis is what Ukrainian troops now control in a Russian border area, says Ukraine's top military commander, nearly 390 square miles. A mixed day on Wall Street. This is ABC News. A former Cornell University student was sentenced today after admitting to making threats against Jewish students on campus.
Former Cornell University student Patrick Day, who pleaded guilty in April to making violent anti-Semitic threats, has been sentenced in federal court to 21 months in prison. Federal sentencing guidelines had called for up to 33 months, but the judge, considering Day's diagnosis of autism and nonviolent history, reducing the sentence. Day's online threats said prosecutors, including rape and murder. The DOJ also said that Day threatened to bring an assault rifle to campus to shoot Jews. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Firefighters from around Europe are on their way to Greece to help battle wildfires north of Athens. More than 30,000 people have been evacuated from their homes ahead of the flames heading toward the capital. Fast-moving fire breaking out just yesterday and fueled by strong winds and dry conditions. Firefighters in an Athens suburb say they found a body in a burned building. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the state's premier agricultural expo. Farm Technology Days will be hosted at the Close Farms and Country Fest Grounds in Cadott, August 13th through the 15th. Check out the showcase of cutting-edge farm technology and sustainable ag practices. Find all the details at wifarmtechdays.org. The Eau Claire area is going to be bumping with the Reverb Music Festival. Enjoy the best of emo, pop, rock, hip-hop, and more with stages set up all around the Eau Claire Event District of 20th Avenue. Reverb is happening August 16th and 17th. And more great music will be featured at the Great River Folk Festival in La Crosse. Dance, art, crafts, performances, and a songwriting contest, too. Celebrate the folk arts of the Driftless region at Riverside Park August 23rd through the 25th. Enjoy. And until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Nitrate is the most common health-related contaminant found in Wisconsin's groundwater, and you can get your well tested for free. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources will be providing free well water testing for nitrate at Farm Technology Days in Cadott, August 13th through 15th. Environmental groups in Wisconsin are urging voters to reject two proposed amendments to the state constitution in Tuesday's primary election. If approved, the amendments would give the Republican-led legislature power to allocate certain federal funds instead of the governor. Melissa Johnson of the nonpartisan organization Green Fire worries these changes would make it harder to use state resources to address climate change-fueled storms or to build green infrastructure.
We're in competition with other states who have streamlined processes to get that money. I don't think Wisconsin wants to wait.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Dodgers are coming to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a four-game series against the L.A. Dodgers tonight in Milwaukee. Veteran lefty Clayton Kershaw on the mound for Los Angeles against the Brewers' Freddie Peralta. Yesterday, the crew got a look at lefty D.L. Hall, back for the first time since going on the IL last April. Manager Pat Murphy.
Best he's thrown all year. My opinion that I've witnessed, thought he deserved better luck. I don't think he would have given up but one run. thought he maintained it. I thought he was very good.
The Brewers losing 4-3 to the Reds, snapping a 5-game winning streak for Milwaukee. NFL, Packers back at practice this week. Then they head to Denver to play the Broncos Sunday night. The Badgers have a quarterback competition going on. Is it going to be Tyler Van Dyke or Braden Locke?
These guys are battling right now, and I think the advantage that Braden has is he has a year under his belt and a huge working knowledge, and he is twice the player that he was last year. I just said that in the staff meeting the other day. He is vastly improved.
That's offensive coordinator Phil Longo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy overnight and cool with lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, a high around 80 to the low 80s. A chance of showers Wednesday night into Thursday. Currently at 68.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we learn about the growing popularity of green burials. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinair on
air. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, tomorrow, Tuesday, August 13th in Minnesota, we have a primary, and it's deciding what candidate will represent the party on the election in November. And we have a couple big-time races, Haley, that we are keeping our eye on.
Definitely. Yeah, these major primary races in the Twin Cities here include Ilhan Omar versus Don Samuels to represent the Democratic Party in Minnesota's 5th Congressional District. And Royce White and Joy Fraser to represent the Republican nominee for Minnesota State Senator.
Yeah, it's a crucial election, and we want to make sure that everyone, even if you can tonight, run over there and vote ahead of time. If you can't, or again, tomorrow's the primary until 8 o'clock, and they don't turn anyone away here in Minnesota if you are in line, and if there is a line, but. Make voting a tradition, Haley.
Yeah, absolutely. Every step of the voting process is a crucial one. And sovereignty, Native American sovereignty, is always on the ballot. So just remember that. You can look up where to vote and who is on your ballot at myballotmn.sos.state.mn.
Hey, so we got a jam-packed show, as always. Wendy and I will be talking about our mouse situation in our house. It was very interesting. Very interesting. We were going to name them. We've never had mice. We usually have cats. And we have, you'll have to wait for that story. And then, of course, she'll have her sacred animal section. And then also we have Eric Ortiz, Executive Director of Strong Mind, Strong Body Foundation. We're going to talk about the youth community a journalism festival here in the Twin Cities. Totally sounding cool on that. But Haley, we talked about this. This just came out, and I want to say a few things about Michael Moore and the first documentary that he did was about the closing, Roger and Me, the closing, and then he's done Columbine, and he's done all these other great documentaries, and so he's been around for a long time, Academy Award winning documentary. But I want to say one thing about him, which was really interesting. He predicted on MSNBC that Trump would win.
Really?
He was one of the only people, you know, how we were all stunned. And then he also predicted that Biden would win, too. So he's got his, I don't know, his pulse, his hand on the, feeling the pulse of what's going on in this country still after all these years. And he had a lot of reasons. But what came up on his website is that he has a lot of cool information I'd like to go with you, go over with you here. And I just want to say this too. It's he states that America is a liberal nation and the Republicans have lost the popular vote in 7 of the 8 last presidential elections. And this is why. And I don't know if you want me to go through them, but we can go hit on these.
Should we do every other one?
Let's do them all and do them quick. I know we only have 5 minutes, but you and I do every other one.
Yeah.
Oh, equity, right on.
Yeah.
Ladies first.
Okay, so michaelmoore.com says 69% of Americans support legal abortion.
Yes, 72% of us don't own a gun.
And 90% of us want more gun control laws.
72, hey, this is kind of fun. 72% believe that the climate crisis is real.
Good. And 71% of us support labor unions.
Heck yes. I just came from a union as a high school teacher. Hey, 79% of us want the rich to pay more taxes. Heck yeah. I bet you that, I bet you that 21% were the rich people that voted against it. Ho-wah.
That's a good guess. Hey, 76% of us want a higher minimum wage.
Well, I don't know. No, I'm for that. I'm just kidding. Yeah, right on. Hey, 70% of us support legalizing marijuana. And I think the other 30% were stoned and didn't vote correctly. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it is medicine.
No, hey, it's the whole nation.
Yeah, 73% of us want student loan debt relief. Yes, we do.
Heck yes. 65% of us want SCOTUS term limits. Oh, yes, that would be a beautiful thing. And I believe that when we have the blue tsunami this year, this coming election, that we will move either towards that or at least getting more Supreme Court members in there. Because right now they're out of control.
I agree. Yeah. Hey, 84% of us want free pre-K and 3K.
Yeah, cool. 69% of us, which is a weird number for this thing, 69% of us support same-sex marriage.
Hey, high enough percent for me.
Right on.
65% of us want to end the Electoral College.
I think if more people knew what that was, it'd be a higher number.
Higher, yep. I agree.
Hey, 89% of us oppose gerrymandering. Well, that should be 100% because,
seriously,
you know, really, Democrats gerrymander too. So, you know, but it's really bad here in Wisconsin. Well, I'm not in Wisconsin. I'm in Illinois right now, but I drove through Wisconsin. It's really bad.
It is. Yeah, we've talked about it quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah. 70% of us, this is a big one, 70% of us want a ceasefire in Gaza now.
Absolutely. And we were, and it sounded like Harris did mention that in the last few days, that she wants a ceasefire. So that's huge.
And oh, 72. Is it your turn.
Okay. 70, I knew I'd mess this up. Hey,
you got it.
All right, 72% want money out of politics. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about a shorter, like England, they only do it for a month, and the government pays for all those ads, so you don't have big money in it.
Yep, yep. 70% of millennials say that they'd likely vote for a socialist. 70%.
Wow. That's interesting. Hey, 79% of us are women plus young adults plus people of color. Wow.
Ooh.
Join the majority.
Yeah, join us.
That's
crazy.
Amazing.
That Those are good amazing. Stats.
Yeah. It's always cool to to hear, you know, Michael Moore, it's still a voice, and he's still stepping up and talking to us in a good way. I know I appreciate it. And it also took up 5 minutes of our time here on the radio show.
Hey, yeah. Well, I was happy to read those. I want to mention this. I was up traveling in northern Minnesota this weekend, and I happened to stumble across a vendor, and they happened to be Native American, and it was a very beautiful kind of like crocheted mixed dream catcher. And these were made by Danielle and James Keyser of the White Earth Nation. So shout out to them, and thank you very much for the beautiful, beautiful dream catcher.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Up next, Eric Ortiz. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Everyone likes a litter-free ride on Metro Transit buses and trains, so pitch in. Take pride in your ride and take your trash off with you when you get off at your stop. You'll find trash bins at every Metro station. Want to help clean up transit stops in your neighborhood? Join the hundreds who volunteer to adopt a stop and keep it picked up. Learn more at metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop. That's metrotransit.org/adopt-a-stop.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we have Eric Ortiz, Executive Director of Strong Mind, Strong Body Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Youth Community Journalism Solutions Festival. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Right on. Hey, we're glad to have you on there. Let's talk a little bit what's happening. That's coming up tomorrow. And it's just the title, I've heard a little bit about this. It sounds really exciting. And it's almost what McGeezy used to do as an organization back in the 70s with college people that they would train to get into the media game. And so it's exciting to hear this, Eric.
Yeah. So I'm with the Strong Mind, Strong Body Foundation. It's a youth and community development organization. We got started in 2021, and after coming out of the pandemic, there are a lot of needs in the community here in Minneapolis, and so we wanted to help fill those needs with a focus on youth. And so the last couple of years, we've been really active in the community to provide educational and economic opportunities for young people starting in middle school. So we've been holding leadership empowerment workshops and other types of intergenerational mentorship programs, you know, really to give opportunities to young people. And this past spring, we created a Youth Community Journalism Institute to house all of our journalism institutes initiatives. And as part of that, we launched a pilot in Ella Baker Middle School in Uptown Minneapolis. We created a middle school community journalism program. We created an online school newspaper for them and teach them community journalism so that they can have a voice for their community, for their schools, students, parents, teachers, have a platform to talk about what they want to talk about. And it was really successful. A lot of talented students, young people in the world today, especially in Minneapolis, but all over the world. And so we've been working with some of them to really give them an opportunity to share their voice. Our program is all about empowerment and really letting youth lead, giving them the tools and the resources and the opportunities so that they can put their ideas into action. So we're all about solutions. This summer, coming out of the spring, we created a youth community journalism micro-internship program. We partnered with Speak Minneapolis, which is a community media center in Minnesota, Minneapolis. And it was a six-week program, paid micro-internship program. We taught them video production, field reporting, video editing. And then to wrap it up, they produced a live community news show on August 2nd, 90-minute show on the community issues that they covered over the course of the 6 weeks. So we did field reporting. We went to the state capitol. They interviewed Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison. They met with House Representative Maria Issa Perez Vega. She gave us a tour of the House chambers. They got to bang the gavel. We went to other community organizations, Central Tyrone Guzman, which is the longest and largest nonprofit serving Latino community in Minnesota. We went to Mercado Central, which is a Latino marketplace, and they learned all about community journalism. It was a great experience. And from that experience, we wanted to create an opportunity to engage with the community. And that's where the idea came for the Community Journalism Festival. So it's a Youth Community Journalism Solutions Festival. And we're going to be starting this in August. It's August 17th, this Saturday. It's going to be 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Cedar Field Park in the Phillips neighborhood of Minnesota, Minneapolis. And we're going to be working, we're partnering with Little Earth Community on this. It's an indigenous community in Minnesota, and a lot of great people there and a lot of great young people. And so we want, the whole idea with this is to have the fun components of a festival, food, music, culture, and then also the community journalism aspect. So we're partnering with Star Tribune on this with our youth community journalism program. We're going to have a community news kiosk that we're developing. It's going to be a mobile kiosk where youth, in this instance, we'll be partnering with professional journalists to share information about the community, but also gather information from the community and then be able to share that information out to the community on different channels, such as this community news show we're going to keep doing with Speak Minneapolis and also SPIN, which is St. Paul Neighborhood Network, and just keep expanding it monthly. So we'll have a monthly TV public access show and then also have a monthly event that tied to the issues that they're talking about, the community issues. So what came up in the course of the micro-internship, a lot of the issues that the kids did reporting on, the young people were, drugs, public health, public safety, immigration, entrepreneurship, local business development, economic empowerment. And so we're going to bring together the community with community experts in those fields to talk about solutions, how they can learn about creating solutions to these issues and working together as a community to help solve them. So what we do is all about action and solutions and want to bring the community together with experts to help solve those issues.
Eric, I wasn't able to ask a question. You answered them all, but I don't know if you know my background. I taught high school film and video for 30 years, and so this kind of stuff really excites me. And maybe we can partner too and do maybe a little segment here on Native Roots Radio. That'd be awesome. What's your background, Eric?
So I'm a longtime journalist. I got started a few years ago, going on 25 years now in journalism. I got started as sports journalism at ESPN.com. I was a digital editor in the early days of the internet, and I was in sports journalism. I was at ESPN for 8 years. Then I went to New England Sports Network in Boston, was founding editor of NESN.com. That's cable television home of the Boston Red Sox, Boston Bruins, and turned that into, helped develop that with a team of young journalists again, you know, in the number one regional sports website in the country. And then got a fellowship at Stanford, a John S. Knight Journalism Fellowship, and kind of transferred, transitioned into entrepreneurship, and with a focus on local news, community news. How can we amplify the voices of the underserved and marginalized, and really looked at how can we make local news sustainable? You know, the problems that still exist today with local news. I started kind of that's what I spent my year focused on. Coming out of that, I created kind of went into entrepreneurship, started a tech media company for a few years. I was focused on community journalism and mobile journalism and really empowering and democratizing local news and giving everyone the power to tell their own story and use their voice and do their own reporting, and just continued that in different roles, you know, started a lot of newsrooms, built a lot of newsrooms, and been doing that for the last few years. But really, I'm passionate about community building, you know, strengthening communities. And that's kind of where the intersection of my work is today. It's with that intersection of journalism, community building, youth education, and how the community can really use asset-based community development, focus on the strengths of the community to create solutions for the community. So that the Strong Mind, Strong Body Foundation is a key part of that. I also have a day job with the Pivot Fund. That's a venture philanthropy organization, and that's focused on investing in community news organizations in underserved communities, communities of color, immigrant communities, rural communities. And so this is how I got connected, you know, with the Little Earth community. So we're doing a news landscape analysis of the state of Minnesota, or the Midwest, but starting in Minnesota, and looking at where underserved communities getting their trusted news and information. And so we did, I led some focus groups here and listening sessions on the ground. And so we had one with the Little Earth community in May. I met Jolene Jones, who's a leader, community leader at Little Earth, and, yeah, and Cassie Holmes, another leader. And so from that, just stayed in touch with them and you know, kind of talking with them, and then had this idea, how could we take our research that, you know, we covered the whole state and really identified some emerging and existing media entrepreneurs who are doing non-traditional things in media, but serving the communities and different communities in very impactful ways. How could we take this research, which is going to be part of a public report that we're in the final stages, it will be released soon. I'll share with you all, and you can share with the audience too. I think it'll be interesting to a lot of people, but it's all about creating a healthy media ecosystem for everyone. Right now, as a lot of people know, media is not serving everyone. There are a lot of people whose news and information needs are not being met by traditional media, legacy media, mainstream media. And so those gaps are being filled by a lot of people in different communities, the Little Earth community. So Little Earth Residence 411 is a Facebook page that's run by Jolene and Cassie that serves over 3,500 people in the community and is getting news and trusted news. And there's a lot of media organizations like that exist in different communities, in indigenous communities, rural communities, Black communities, Asian communities, Latino. And we talked to a lot of them and identified them. And we're going to be doing this in other states. So we're going to Michigan next to cover that. Then we're going to look at Wisconsin and Illinois. So all this work that I'm doing is interconnected, really, in using journalism and community journalism, community-centered journalism, to help solve problems, use journalism as a vehicle for change and social good. Because a lot of journalism or a lot of media right now is not really upholding that standard of journalism.
Right. Well, we agree 100%. We started Native Roots Radio because of the lack of journalism on Standing Rock. And that's now we've expanded over 30 stations across the country. And so, Eric, we got to have you on again because you have a lot of knowledge, and we'd love to have you on at least a half a show. Exciting things you're doing for our community, and you sound like a doer, and we really appreciate what you're doing. This is crazy what you're doing. It's excellent. Haley, what do you think?
I love
what
you guys are doing too. You know, you're going to be in the report. You know, I talked with Chad Larson last week about what you guys are doing at AM 950, and you guys are doing great work. So thank you for having me, and I'd love to be back.
Right on. And then maybe you and I can do a baseball podcast because
love that too. Any sports you want to talk about?
I'm a baseball fan.
I love baseball. Yeah, I used to play, and I still love it. It's a great game.
Right on. Yeah. Well, you were out in Boston, and I know how crazy they are out there.
They are. They're very passionate about their sports.
That's one way to put it. Eric, we're going to reach out again. A big peeny geeky. Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
KBC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There's been a snafu that delayed by about 40 minutes tonight's chat between Elon Musk and former President Trump on X, formerly Twitter, which Musk owns. There was a cyber attack, says Musk.
My apologies for the late start. We unfortunately had a massive distributed denial of service attack against our servers and saturated all of our data lines.
30 shells or rockets or something were fired from southern Lebanon, where Hezbollah militants operate, into northern Israel, says the Israeli military. They haven't said exactly what was fired. This says the U.S. moves a second aircraft carrier and a submarine with guided attack missiles toward the Mideast. An area greater than the city of Indianapolis is what Ukrainian troops now control in a Russian border area, says Ukraine's top military commander, nearly 390 square miles. A mixed day on Wall Street. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The partisan primary is Tuesday. Wisconsin voters will narrow down which candidates run for seats in November. Some of the most contested races will be the 3rd Congressional District. The Democrat who wins will take on incumbent Derek Van Orden, plus the race for Mike Gallagher's old seat representing Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District. There are also two statewide referendum questions on the ballot. Polls open at 7 a.m. Farmers who want their meat to carry the USDA Certified Organic label have some new animal welfare standards to meet. Terry Bell reports.
Labels can still be confusing and misleading. Seth Milstein is a reporter for Sentient Media.
If you want to shop consciously with a mind towards animal welfare approved is generally recognized as the highest standards for the animals.
Farmers have until the end of 2028 to meet the new USDA organic standards.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a movie this weekend that is ripe for theater viewing as opposed to streaming, and you can't seem to get enough of franchises, check out Alien Romulus. Not even sure I need to explain what it's about, but the story finds colonizers in space who end up in peril when they come face to face with, you guessed it, aliens. Alien Romulus is the umpteenth installment in the series and most likely not the last, and it opens August 16th. Have fun at the movies. Matt Damon says the people and culture of Boston can seem abrasive and harsh. Damon's new comedy is called The Instigators and is set in the actor's native city. His lifelong pal and castmate Casey Affleck also calls Boston his hometown. Damon says he is aware of how people view Boston and can be put off by Bostonians' sarcasm and cynicism. But to him, it feels like a comfortable pair of socks. New tourism slogan, anyone? The Instigators can be streamed on Apple TV. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower or two this evening, otherwise partly cloudy overnight and cool with lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and warmer, a high around 80 to the low 80s. A chance of showers Wednesday night into Thursday. Currently at 64 degrees.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as it's Tuesday Tangents with our own Luke Mathers. Be here, find out what's grinding his gears and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, it's going to be like a fun fact Friday here. We got Wendy on a little early this week. We got fun stories to talk about, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an advocate for many years, and a great storyteller. Welcome, Wendy.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Well, we had a mishap here the other night. I was sitting on the couch watching reruns of Grey's Anatomy late in the morning. I don't know, it was like 1:30 in the morning. And
it was 2 when you woke me up.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. So I heard a little scratching noise and a little noise, and I didn't know what it was. So I turned around, and in our gas fireplace insert were 2 mice.
Now, at first it was 1.
At first I only saw 1. But then on further investigation, there were 2 mice inside the gas fireplace. By the way, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces installed this gas fireplace. They converted our wood-burning fireplace to a gas-burning fireplace a couple of years ago. We really love it, enjoy it in the wintertime all the time. But anyhow, I was standing there just like freaking out, and I was like just astonished. I did not know how they could have gotten inside. It's a gas fireplace, so it's like sealed airtight, mm-hmm. You know, the little compartment where the fake, you know, logs are and stuff. But I was just sitting there, and then finally I was just like, I don't know, I have to wake Robert up. So I went upstairs and woke him up out of a sound sleep, mm-hmm. And he came downstairs, and we were just trying to brainstorm on how we can get these mice out. Now, we did see one of the mice jumping up in the back of the fireplace, trying to go back up through the chimney, you know? Mm-hmm. So we're like, wow, they must have fell in from the top of the chimney.
You saw some leaves, too.
Yeah, there were leaves in the fireplace, too.
And we've never had that before.
Ever. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, I felt bad for these mice because I'm like, it must have been really scary for them, you know? They're all of a sudden inside of somebody's fireplace. And it looked like an aquarium, you know, with the glass in front and the 2 mice.
Well, we did get the screen off, but we didn't know what we were doing.
We didn't know what we were doing. I couldn't get the glass off the fireplace. Anyway, right in the morning, first thing, I called Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and they sent one of their technicians over to help me. So the guy came over, and, you know, he was just kind of like thinking about, you know, what we should do about these mice, you know. A couple of, I'm not going to say friends, but a couple of people who heard about this story were just like, well, just turn the fireplace on and burn them. Yeah, that's not anything I'm ever going to do, and even in my lifetime. I don't even think if I didn't like mice, I could do that anyway. But anyway, so the guy came up with this really unbelievable solution.
I didn't believe it.
So what he did was he said to me, I'm going to put a rope down from the top of your chimney all the way down into your fireplace, and hopefully the mice will climb up on the rope to get out. He said years and years ago, this happened with a squirrel. So he went on top of the chimney, and he told me, there were mice that got inside the cap of the fireplace, and they made a nest. And we had a really bad wind and rainstorm, right?
Mm-hmm.
That night. And the wind and the rain must have just blew the whole nest down into the fireplace, down the flue, into the fireplace. Mm. And those little 2 mice were trying to, they were really cute. Mm. So anyway, he came over and he put the rope down the chimney, And I went upstairs in my office to do some work, and I came back down like 2 hours later, and the mice were gone. Like, they knew to climb back up through the flue and get out.
Well, if that would have been me as a young person, remember we had that rope hang from the ceiling at gym?
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of upper body strength when I was young to pull myself out of there.
Well, you weren't a mouse either.
Well, I was kind of mousy.
Anyway, so the mouse are gone. He modified our cap on top of the chimney so that no critters could get in there anymore. He tested our fireplace. I cleaned the glass. Super nice guy. And that was Woodland Stoves and Fireplace. I know they advertise on AM 950, and it's funny. We got our fireplace switched over from a wood burning to gas mm-hmm. because of we kept hearing the ads, and it is something I always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's my mouse story. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, I have videos of the mice. So I told, talking to a couple of people and just telling them about it.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. So when they escaped, is that when he capped the
yeah, after they were
after
gone.
After escape. Yep. Okay.
After they were gone, he came back, got back on the roof, took the rope out, modified the cap, and then put the cap back on.
Well, I've seen some mice around the house.
I know.
Walking around. Do we need to get another cat? Because they can just sense cats.
That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
The mice can sense cats.
I don't think we've ever had any cats beat up a mouse, but we've kept them away just because they can sense them, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Princess used to bring us up socks from the basement.
She was hunting socks.
Yeah.
She was an indoor...
Dirty socks. My socks, not yours.
She was an indoor cat hunting. That's what the veterinarian told us.
Mm.
And she was bringing us her prey.
Oh.
And giving us presents. Yeah, she used to walk up the stairs with an old, you know, like a dirty sock or a blouse or something in her mouth, and she would... Her meows would be muffled.
Yeah. Our daughter stayed with us, and she thought I was, like, taking my socks off and leaving them in the kitchen. She was, like, perplexed totally.
Well, there were plenty of socks on our kitchen floor. So I have some mims I'd like to talk to you about. Can I tell you about the mims? So I find
You know, I listened to our show last Friday. It was a best of.
Yeah.
And you were talking about that, and I went... Oh, she does describe these pretty well. I could tell what you were describing, so go ahead.
Okay, so here's a dog. He's a cartoon dog, and he's talking to his mom, his person mom. And the dog said, "You just called me Smoochie McGee. Yesterday you called me Fluff Face. Last night it was Fuzzy Butt. Be honest, Janet. Is it the memory problem or is it the drinking?" That's what the dog said to her. I know, like, I do have nicknames for Wanda. Yeah, I call her Pup.
That's a new one,
though. That is a new one. Here's one. There's a bunch of dogs, and they're sitting in the movie theater, and they went to see a horror film, and the movie is called Night of the Living Nail Clippers.
Ooh, no doubt. They go crazy.
I'm telling you, we try to
skinned alive.
Yes. Wanda acts like she's literally skinned alive. Here's a cute one. There's three dogs and a cat sitting around the table, and they're playing, what's this game? Jenga?
Yeah, something like that.
You know
like
that name, Jenga? I don't know what it's called. I've never played it. So you put all those blocks all the way up at a tower, and you take one out at a time.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's three dogs and a cat, and the one dog said, you have to make sure you don't knock it over. And the cat said, this game is stupid. You know how cats always like to knock things over? Well, we used to have this cat. Well, it was my cat, Clyde. Oh, and Tommy used to do this too. I think it was Tommy now that I mention it.
Hmm.
Tommy used to go jump on the dining room table, and what was ever on the dining room table, he would swat like a pen. If there was a pen on the dining room table, he used to knock it down and like try to hit the dogs with it.
Well, Tommy would be right on the table right now with us.
I know he would be. Here's two cats, and they're sitting on a couch, and there's a box of catnip in between them, and they look like they're a little stoned, and the one cat says, the long journey to breakfast begins with the first step on our human's face, and then the other cat said, That is so true, man.
A burnout cat.
Burnout cats. Here's a Martian ship with two Martians, and they captured the cat, and the cat is just sitting there looking very casual, licking its paw and cleaning itself. And the Martian says to the cat, "We were hoping you could teach us how to make another species become our servant." Right? Because cats do that, right? I know. All right, here's another one. Here's a dog, and he's in the psychiatrist's office, and the dog is lying on the couch, and the therapist is looking out the window at a squirrel. And the dog on the couch says, "I want someone who will pay attention to me. Is that too much to ask?"
Aww.
But the therapist is looking out the
therapist
window.
Therapist is a dog, though.
Therapist is a dog looking at a squirrel at the
and not paying attention.
I know.
Oh, my God. These are terrible.
I like this one. This one's a cute one. You'll like this one. Two right. dogs sitting out in front of their houses on the lawn, and one dog says to the other one, "I love being a part of the political process. Let's go pee on some lawn signs."
Jesus. All right, time for one last one before we hit the break.
All right, there's a guy sleeping in the bed, and his dog is sleeping on the bed with him, and the sound from outside the window comes, "Woof, woof, woof." That's from outside, and the guy sleeping said to his dog laying on the bed, "It's too late, don't answer it."
Oh. Oh, my God. All right. Well, it's a good way to start a Monday here.
Yeah, happy Monday.
All right. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and ENERGY STAR's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. 952 Windows is part of Loyal Home, founded by some of the Ethics Award-winning former Window Light employees. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top-quality products. Most of their business comes from referrals, so much so that they have been called the best-kept secret in remodeling by their competitors. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952-WINDOWS or visit 952windows.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And as always, it's my pleasure to do that. I have some good news today. This is from World Animal Protection US, and they are an organization that cares for animals all over the world, but they have really good news. Massachusetts is banning wild animals in circuses. This passed the Senate, and now it's headed to the governor's office. And just 3 days ago, the governor passed House Bill 4915, which bans using primates, bears, wildcats, giraffes, and elephants in circuses. And this was just signed into law 3 days ago by Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. And this is after a unanimously passed the House and passed the Senate. What a wonderful thing. So thank you, Governor Healey. And thank you for caring about the animals in the circus and taking care of this. This is really an important thing. Robert and I have been protesting and talking about wild animals in circuses for years now. And, you know, when I was a kid, I remember my mom taking my sister and I to the circus, and there was a bear riding a bicycle around. And I'll never forget this. He had kind of like a hook in his nose, like through his nostrils, and like a wire, like a small chain going to the trainer. And the trainer had a whip in his hand. And I remember as a small child, like thinking about this and saying, like, this bear is not having fun. Like, this is not what a bear should be doing. Like, I didn't really understand it, but I remember leaving the circus and being sad. And I told my mom, I don't want to ever go back to the circus. And I didn't really know really why, but I remember that. And I remember that bear. So this is just a few ways that wild animals can suffer in circuses. So training, that's really the first thing, the training. Animals may be trained using physical abuse, which is whips, electric shock devices, bull hooks, chains, clubs, and restraints. This training can begin when an animal is just a baby, such as when baby elephants are taken from their mothers at 18 to 24 months old. So really, the training is just intimidation. You know, a lot of people will go to, you know, like SeaWorld, for instance. Even these mammals, these beautiful dolphins and whales that are kept in these tiny tanks, they do the tricks because of intimidation. If they don't do the trick, then they may not get to eat. So it's not like they're having fun. It might look like they're having fun, but they're not. They're definitely not. I wanted to talk about the bull hook thing since I mentioned this. This is something that we all worked on as a humane policy volunteer leader. Years ago, what happened was we were trying to ban circuses coming into Minneapolis, and we were hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. But what we were able to accomplish was getting the bull hook banned. So the bull hook is actually exactly what it sounds like. It's a big hook on a big stick that the trainer uses for using the elephants. So this hook goes behind their ears. The elephant is pulled with it. The animal is hit with this. And this is the only way that a trainer could control an elephant. The elephant is learned at a very early age to be afraid of this bull hook. They know when they see this means business, and they will get hurt if they don't do what the trainer says. So what we were able to do We couldn't stop the circus because of roadblock after roadblock, but we were able to ban the bullhook. So just for us being able to ban that bullhook, the circus doesn't come to Minneapolis anymore because they can't control the elephants. So they're just not going to leave the elephants behind and take the other animals and have the circus. They just stopped coming to Minneapolis. So we tried to do that in St. Paul. The thing is that the state fairgrounds where the circus is held at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds, it's kind of like their own sovereign nation there. And we can't, by law, change things like that. So what we do when the circus comes to St. Paul is we get out there and we protest. We have our signs, we have brochures, and we hand it to people and talk to people, because most people don't really understand what, you know, the suffering of these animals. So another thing is confinement, right? The animals are kept in small cramped trailers or cages for most of their lives. They may be also chained to confined small pens that restrict their movement. These spaces may not allow animals to climb, dig, run, bathe, or swim. So what they do, they're usually on trains or, brought across the country. In these small confined places, the only time they're out of these confined spaces is when they're on the circus floor and they're being intimidated by their trainer with a whip, with a chain, with a bullhook, etc. Social deprivation. Animals may be deprived of their natural social companions and taken away from their mothers. This can lead to a lack of social competence and chronic suffering. This is mental abuse. Unnatural social structures. Animals may live in unnatural social structures or solitary confinement. Performance. Animals may be forced to perform in uncomfortable, confusing, and painful acts. Underfeeding. Animals may be underfed, which can lead to health problems and abnormal behaviors. Loud noises and crowds. The loud noises and crowds of the people at the circus can be frightening or upsetting to them. So it's really a terrible thing. And capture and transport. Animals captured in the wild may die from stress during capture and transport. So these are all the ways that circus animals suffer in the circus, and that why Robert and I and the Humane Society of the United States try to talk to people and educate them about the suffering that these animals go through. And hopefully people will stop going to circuses that have animals. I just took our godchildren to a circus. It's called the Royal Canadian. They have no animals in the circus. They have acrobats and dancers and motorcycle drivers and all kinds of things. It was a spectacular show with absolutely no animals involved, no animals captured, no animals being tortured and put in tiny cages and in solitary confinement and being intimidated by these cruel ways of training. It's not like your dog, you know. Wanda, I train her, but I use positive reinforcement, so it's fun for her. But these animals are not trained with positive reinforcements, although I'm sure the trainers would like to tell you that, because if you really knew the truth, you wouldn't be, attending the circus. So if you see a circus online, it's coming to your town, don't go. And talk to people who might be going and educate them, right? We have to stop this. This is 2024. Anyway.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, why does Donald Trump love tariffs? And what would another Trump trade war with China do to Wisconsin farmers if he were to win again?
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.